On today's episode of ESC 101, we're going to get to know ESC host Willie Dolb, who was the host of the Eurovision Song Contest in 1970. Let's learn a little about her life in this week's episode of ESC 101. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world, and welcome to ESC 101, your home of Eurovision history and obscurity. This is the podcast where we take a look at the Eurovision Song Contest throughout the years to uncover the story behind the world's largest international televised music competition. Welcome to episode 5. My name is Alexander, and let's jump right into the episode. So, as I've already said, Willie Dolb was the host of the Eurovision Song Contest in 1970, held in Amsterdam. And not much is actually known about Willie, but I've managed to piece together a few bits to learn a little bit more about her. Willie Dolb was born on January 2nd, 1944, in The Hague, the Netherlands. And according to her Wikipedia page, she obtained a degree as a beautician. And in 1967, at the age of 23, she joined the NOS broadcaster and became a television announcer for 5 years. During her time at NOS, she was actually given the honor of hosting the Eurovision Song Contest in 1970. So I went ahead and watched the 1970 contest, and specifically the parts where Willie was actually on camera. And to be completely frank, I almost forgot there was a host at all. She spends less than 30 seconds introducing the show in 3 languages, which I'm pretty sure is some kind of record for being the shortest Eurovision introduction ever.
Mesdames et messieurs, bonsoir. Nous vous souhaitons la bienvenue à Amsterdam à l'occasion du 15e Festival de la Chanson. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to the 15th Eurovision Song Contest here in Amsterdam. Dames en heren, goedenavond. Hartelijk welkom bij het 15e Eurovisie Songfestival dat gehouden wordt, u weet het allemaal, in Amsterdam.
And we don't see her again until after the interval act performs following the final song in the evening. So normally when the final song is over, the host comes back onto the stage and tells the audience that the vote is about to begin and introduces the interval act. But for some reason, she decided not to do that at all, and in fact just kind of doesn't really appear on the stage ever again. It makes her feel very sparse and almost like she wasn't even needed at all except for the voting portion. Towards the end of the show, she remains seated with the executive supervisor and his staff at the desk by the scoreboard and does not appear on stage apart from those 30 seconds at the beginning. So she doesn't leave the desk to congratulate the winner. She doesn't stand and walk around or have any sort of movement. She just simply sits at the desk. And it feels like she's not even there, which is very disappointing because usually hosts bring an air of a certain authority and control over the show. And to not see her on stage and to see her instead sitting at a desk with the executive supervisor, it just feels like she's part of the staff rather than actually taking hold of the show and putting something together that's really memorable and exciting. And this certainly feels like the least visible host that I've seen in Eurovision, and I'm including 1956 and 1964 in here, where we don't even see the video recordings of the show. Perhaps the controversy of 1969 took a toll on the Dutch broadcaster and they wanted a more simplistic affair, but to me, it brought down the quality of the show. And the lack of the host's presence made it feel like an automated show and lacked any actual creative flair. In terms of the fashion, she ended up wearing a full-length dress consisting of long sleeves and a high neckline. And here's a warning that I'm briefly straying away from history and diving into the realm of opinion. While we remember that this was 1970, the outfit looks like a nightgown with silver balls glued on top of it. I'm sure that there must have been better options. Granted, it was the 60s and 70s. Fashion definitely was in its experimental stages. But she looks like she's ready for bed. I mean, apart from her hair, which looks quite nice, and her makeup is lightly applied, so it, you know, it doesn't look like she's actually ready to go to bed, but it looks pretty close to it. It's literally just a nightgown. There's nothing really flattering about it, and just, I don't like it. It's really, really disappointing. Whoever came up with that outfit really needs to rethink their choice. Now, she is by no means the worst Eurovision host I've seen. I have seen worst hosts. I think those of us who are deep Eurovision history fans, you may remember a certain host in a certain country that will be reserved for another episode of ESC 101, looking at the hosts. But she's definitely not the best. And she's certainly the most invisible host that I've seen in a long while. Now, granted, I have not watched every single Eurovision Song Contest in recent times, because to do that would take a very long time. But I'm sure that if I find another host that is even more invisible than this one, then I will definitely let you know in a future episode. But for now, she holds the title of being the most invisible host that I can think of. And it's not a really great look for her. I wish I had more to say about her time at hosting Eurovision, but it really is that cut and dry. There's not much else to say about her hosting duty. She was professional, she kept to the task, and that was pretty much it. But her life does have a few more notes in it, so let's take a look at what she did after Eurovision. After hosting the Eurovision Song Contest, she remained at the Dutch broadcaster NOS for 2 years before moving to Troost in 1972. Before she moved to Troost, she hosted the National Song Festival, which was the national selection program for Dutch entries in the Eurovision Song Contest. She also presented various television programs over the years until her retirement. And Willy retired in 1989, after 22 years in the industry at the age of 45. It's quite an early age to retire at, and she did so on purpose. Her retirement was extremely quiet, and she didn't say goodbye or make any sort of press conference to announce it. And it was actually revealed in an article written for Media Courant that Willy signed a contract every 11 months. And in 1988, a new star joined the Troost broadcaster, a young blonde woman named Linda de Mol. And Willy thought that she wasn't going to be needed anymore with the introduction of this new talent, and so she wanted to retire at her peak rather than during a decline. And so during one of her contract negotiations, she simply said, "Never mind, I quit." And that was her retirement. Not much else is noted about her life after she left the broadcaster. She lives a pretty quiet life. But she was mentioned in a Dutch gossip magazine called Story, where she shared her fashion preferences, saying, "At home, I prefer to wear long trousers with a cozy sweater. I usually wear long dresses in front of the television. A short skirt distorts your legs for the camera." And it seems like she did follow her advice, because the dress she was wearing was floor length. Although you could only tell that because she was on the stage for only 30 seconds in the beginning of the show, and for the rest of the program, you did not see anything below basically her neckline, which, again, is extremely disappointing, but it is what it is. The only other notable thing about her life is that her name was used to create a fictional park in several satirical programs created by Dutch director Wim T. Schippers. And in 1997, a real park was named after her in Olst in the province of Overijssel. And as of the recording of this episode, Willy resides in Heerlen in the province of Limburg. She spends her free time playing golf, working in the garden, and just generally enjoying a quiet life. And unlike Willy's retirement, Eurovision is never quiet. So let's turn now to the Eurovision report. Andorra's broadcaster RTVA confirmed that it will not be participating in the Eurovision Song Contest in 2024. This comes after the broadcaster looked at its various options, opting to delay its return to the contest. Andorra in recent years has been hinting a return to the contest thanks to the efforts of 2009 entrant Suzanne Giorgi. Despite assurances of financial and governmental support, Andorra is still unable to rejoin the contest after being absent for over 15 years. This was reported by Sanjay Dhyandani of ESC Today. This has been the Eurovision Report. And now it's time for this week's Song of the Week. This is the part of the show where I take a look at a song that I find interesting, fun, really fascinating to look at, or maybe even cringeworthy. We learn about the details of the song, what I think about it, and maybe even gets you thinking about it as well. Let's learn more about this week's Song of the Week. This week's Song of the Week is the entry for Lithuania in 2001. The song is called You Got Style, sung by the band Skamp. The composer is Viktoras Diawara, and lyricists include Viktoras Diawara, Vilius Alesius, and Erica Quinn Jennings. It ended up placing 13th with 35 points. It got 10 points from Russia, 5 points from the Netherlands and Latvia, 4 points from Israel and the UK, 2 points from Bosnia-Herzegovina and Slovenia, and 1 point from Iceland, Sweden, and Ireland. Now, if you've paused the show and gone ahead and watched the song, you'll already know why I might be thinking about talking about the song. There's a lot of questionable fashion choices. I feel like there's a bit of a pattern here. It's basically a parody of a 1970s song with heavy use of very satirical fashion and color choices. And it feels like it's one of those traditional camp style entries where the artist wants to get as outlandish as possible, throwing anything that's going to be gathering votes. And it partially worked. I don't know how Russia selected this as its number two song. I will never understand that. But I would classify this as a kind of guilty pleasure. If I listened to it enough times, I could probably get into it. Or maybe if I'm just looking to goof off and have a good time, maybe I'll turn to this song. But really, the fashion choices are, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like there's some background singers that have colored afros and just this weird, they're trying to put on this like 70s glam thing, but it's just not working. And the song itself is pretty forgettable. There's like a little bit of disco vibes, but it's kind of not, I don't know. It's kind of there. Certainly not a top quality entry, and it's not a song I would put on repeat. But I think it's a pretty good example of the idea of Eurovision camp. And how there's a lot of entries, especially going in the next 10 years after this entry, that will show up that are very camp in its essence, putting on almost a parody or some kind of outlandish performance that wants to get the shock value rather than something that's a bit more serious or something else to that effect. And so that's the reason why I chose You Got Style as this week's Song of the Week. Even though You Got Style is grammatically incorrect and has severely bad fashion choices. So, having taken a look at the Eurovision host in 1970, I now more appreciate the role that the host plays in the Eurovision Song Contest. They really are the face of the event, highlighting the various elements of the show and helping to keep the show engaging and running smoothly. There are some hosts that take a much more forward-facing role in the show. Some of the ones I can think of is Petra Med, who hosted in 2013 and 2016 alongside Mann Zermelo. She took quite an active role in hosting. And there are some that hold a more quieted tone of professionalism to keep some level of dignity to the show, which was much more commonplace in the earlier editions of the contest. But the host of 1970 felt like an afterthought rather than an engaging and an active host. And I don't know if this was the decision of the producers or if Willie decided to simply be passive. But either way, 1970 had a lot going against it, between the small number of entries and the lackluster show. But that will do it for this week's episode. It was a bit of a short one, and quite frankly, the presence of the host on the stage at Eurovision 1970 was just as short. So be sure to follow the podcast so you don't miss out on next week's episode. We're going to be doing a complete 180-degree turn and actually looking at an interval act, which feels like the prophecy foretelling the arrival of a world-famous comedic act. So it'll be a little bit more forward-facing and maybe a bit more entertaining than the host that we just looked at. We also have an Instagram page that we've started running, so you can find us at ESC101podcast, where you can get in touch with us. Or you can also send us an email at ESC101podcast@gmail.com. Feel free to send me your messages. I would love to hear from you if you have anything you'd like to discuss about the episode, any topics you'd like to put for future editions of the show, or if you just want to tell me how much you like the episode, then I can always appreciate getting messages from all of you. You have been listening to ESC 101. See you next time.